Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Arcade. We are Canada's video game radio show, and we are here so glad to be back with you, and so glad you can be back with us here for another week, another rousing edition, as we are here with you on the normal radio, the traditional definition of radio on 92.9 KIK FM, and over the new radio, that newfangled thing that people call the internets. The intertubes on our website, thearcadeshow.com. We are here recording on Wednesday, June 20th of the year 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how are you all doing? How are you doing?
Me, the second voice on this radio program?
I should hope that there's a second voice on this radio program. Otherwise, I'm talking to myself.
Well, I'm doing good. Thank you. And this week, I am Dennis, the man who might as well be a dairy farmer, given all the damn milking that's going on around here.
That's a very testy statement you're making.
Yes, but an apt one for this week, since, well, we're into week three of talking about the results of E3 this year.
Yes, indeed. We've somehow found a way to drag this out for yet another week, but we can promise you, folks, that this is the third and final week that we talk about the Electronic Entertainment Expo, which took place at the start of the month. It just so happens that there's stuff to talk about.
Yes, well, and to be fair, the whole show is not devoted to it, at least this time.
This is true.
So it's just the couple of straggling stories that we would be remiss if we did not talk to you about them, but yes.
Indeed, the ones that kind of fell through the cracks to this point. This is when we have cupped our hands and we'll bring them to you, the listening audience.
But yes, all that damn milking happening for one more week.
Yes, we can't avoid it, so we hope none of you listeners out there are lactose intolerant.
Yes, we apologize, but we really don't apologize since we're doing it anyways.
Well, we can apologize, but it's grossly insincere if we do.
Yes.
And, well, I mean, insincerity is one of our hallmarks.
Yes. We don't intend it to be that, but it just so happens that way. So, yeah.
It happens that we're good at insincerity.
Yes. Sorry?
I guess. Oh, well.
Pretty much.
Take what you can get. Take what you can get, everybody. But yes, we do have other stories to get to this week that you might have missed from the course of E3. But before we get to that...
Yes, before we get to that, a very interesting happening from Mike the Legend here in the last couple of days.
Yes, indeed. A small celebrity encounter, if you so will. I now like to consider myself among the elite of society, that I get to hobnob with stars and I get to just freely communicate them on a whim. As some of you might be aware, and some of you hopefully were in attendance, it was a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, that one Mr. Henry Rollins came to Winnipeg, Manitoba, and did one of his one-man spoken word stand-up performances at the Burton Cummings Theater, the historic Burton Cummings Theater.
And it's not the first time he's been here. He's been a few times doing that. And
indeed, he comes around about every 2-3 years, like some sort of weird, you know, triannual.
Or a comet or something. But yeah, it's usually entertaining whenever he's here.
Indeed. If you've never seen him, the best way to describe him is one man, one microphone, go.
Yeah. 2.5 hours, usually. At the very least.
2.5 to 3 hours.
He's talking about interesting stories that have happened to him.
And you will sit there, and you'll be interested the entire time. Buckle up. You're in for a roller coaster ride. He doesn't stop. He doesn't pause. He does not miss a beat, nor repeat himself.
And he doesn't drink water at all while he's on stage, which is mind-boggling.
Which, if anyone has ever done any performing, they understand that being under those hot lights in a warm theater, you tend to perspire.
Yeah, and if you're using your voice very often, it's pretty important to remain hydrated.
Even doing this show, I find it's very handy to have a bottle of water just nearby.
Yes, it is.
Every once in a while, you got to take a swig. You would think that anytime you're talking. No, Henry Rollins defies that.
Yes.
And so it was during the course of his performance here in Winnipeg that he spoke of some Australian bands that he thinks are really neato. And it was recently, I was trying to remember, damn, what were those bands he was mentioning? He gave the name of 3 different musical bands, and I couldn't remember for the life of me. And one of those moments where I don't even know where to start Googling, you know, to try and find out what was he talking about. So I had the next best thought and decided, I'll email Henry Rollins. Naturally, that's the thought occurred. That happens to people. I assume I'm not alone in this, am I?
No, but, you know, he does often talk about how he likes to pride himself on being accessible to people, and he responds to every piece of email that he gets.
It's true, and yes, when he says that, he means it, because I did send him an email, which I asked him, and, you know, said you were in Winnipeg, you spoke of these three Australian bands. What were the names of them? You said they were really, really fantastic and real, well worth checking out. Could you help me remember who they are? His response... Now, you don't understand. Henry Rollins is a very busy man. He openly admits to being a workaholic. He'll take anything and every piece of work that will come his way. He's currently engaged in a big cross-Canada spoken word tour. He's touring all across Europe, Australia, the American continent, or American 48 states. So he's on the go constantly. He's very in demand. His time is very precious, and downtime is few and far between. So you'd think, he'll get back to you when he has a moment to look at your fan mail. And he probably gets a bunch of emails from everybody every day of people out there in the world, just emailing him this or that, bands, other stuff, whatever else. So it's natural to assume that he would take a while to get back to you. Maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks. But, you know, he probably would get back to you. It'd take a great amount of time because he's that busy. Well, friends, you'd be wrong if that's what you thought. Now, I don't know if my case is the norm, or this was just a very special set of circumstances, because it was very shortly after sending that email, where I asked, what were those bands you were talking about? It was a mere, not 10 days, not 10 hours, not 10 weeks, no, it was 10 minutes.
Henry Rollins... the most accessible of the punk icons, I would assume.
We've never performed any, deep analysis of this, but we now have a baseline to go by for further punk icon communications.
Yeah, so he probably keeps his Outlook open all the time, which is cool. I mean, I do it at work all the time. Doesn't mean I respond to every message that comes in. Some of them aren't relevant for me. Some of them are spam. Some of them are whatever. But, you know, the important ones I get to, but sometimes they're not right away. But he's Henry Rollins.
He's Henry Rollins, and it's, how do you distinguish, okay, this piece of mail gets answered right away. This, maybe, you know, I'll get back to you this. How would you sort all that out, considering you have a bunch of email coming into you at all times, and especially from, say, your manager, from other people in your office, your whatever. I mean, he's a big-time entertainer who does anything and everything.
Yes, he hosts television shows on, like, the Discovery Network and stuff.
National Geographic.
Yeah, National Geographic is his latest big thing that he was actually talking about at his recent show. So you'd think that going from that to just answering some whatever email, that's true punk rock, and that's awesome. I'm a big fan of that.
I can't believe it. 10 minutes. How do you explain that? I can't. I have no way to surmise how that happened. Perhaps a very special set of circumstances when maybe he was, you know, engaged in some deep thought in the porcelain library.
Yes, it's entirely possible. I might as well fire off a few of those no-thought emails. These are the bands.
Thanks.
Glad you enjoyed the show. Send.
No, I'm not gonna sit here and say that he wrote me, you know, great paragraphs or any sort of long form essay. No, this was about as succinct as you can be, which I imagine, being Henry Rollins, that is how you need to communicate in the most short, abbreviated, and succinct manner possible to everyone.
Probably.
But doesn't matter. I got an email back from Henry Rollins in 10 minutes after sending mine. That is awesome. And he fully answered my question, too.
So I guess that's just a good lesson for this connected age we live in. Don't be afraid to email people.
That was part of my my thought process. I figured, what the hell? It's an email.
Yeah.
He's not going to dive through the computer monitor and strangle me.
Although, you never know. He seems very intense when you see him in music videos and on stage and in historical documentaries about punk rock and stuff. He seems like a pretty genuine dude, and that's pretty awesome, I have to say.
It is. He always seems to make himself accessible, be it, you know, through email or perhaps even after a show. I mean, after a show in Winnipeg, there seemed to be a large congregation of people waiting outside his bus after the show, I guess, to get an autograph, engage him in some discussion, maybe try and, you know, powwow with him and resolve the world's problems. Who knows? But that is Henry Rollins. And in this connected age, he's only an email away. And so are we here at the Arcade, for you can, if you want an email back in, say, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on when you send it, you can email us, thearcade@kick.fm, or drop us a line on our website, thearcadeshow.com. No guarantees that we'll get back to you in 10 minutes, though. We're not Henry Rollins.
No, which makes me feel like a jerk now, because not being a legendary rock star and, you know, performing at the Grammys and such, and back in the day, et cetera, et cetera. What's my excuse? I mean, Henry Rollins can do it. Really puts things in perspective, though.
I'm assuming that was a rhetorical question, because there's, well, otherwise I'm expecting a response at least next week on this program.
No, it was a rhetorical question.
Phew.
But yeah, just to say, wow, I must be a real slacker, I guess, or something. I don't know.
I suppose, well, part of the problem is that, you know, people like you and I are more easily distracted by various pieces of media in the world, be it videos on YouTube, games we play, stuff on our phone, any sort of social media or social networking.
That's also definitely true.
Or some sort of, you know, TV show that can easily catch and distract our attention, which nicely segues us into our first of two ludicrous leadoffs for this week.
Yes. Now, this ludicrous leadoff is definitely something. Now, it's it's actually got something in the title. Now, some of you may have played the video game that's been all over handheld devices, pretty much smashing the charts of handheld device sales, you know, along with Angry Birds, which will never leave.
But, certainly not.
But this one has been also smashing the charts just because of how accessible it is and how basic it is and how much of a throwback to the good old days of board games it also sort of is, but in a much more digital, social media friendly kind of way, where it's, there's no urgency to do things right away, but it's there to play whenever. And I'm speaking of Draw Something.
Indeed.
It's one of the, you know, a series of games that have come out in a little while that, you know, are basically throwbacks to older games or ideas or what have you, like Draw Something, very much like Pictionary,
mm-hmm.
or Words with Friends, very much like Scrabble, or
yes.
what have you. And there's a few others out there, too, that I don't rightly recall at the moment, but those are the two standout ones. But Draw Something in particular has been kind of a flavor of the month for a while now.
It has, and further cementing itself as being a popular one amongst the folks out there, and so popular, in fact, that it seems to be, well, following in the vein of Angry Birds, in that it's beginning to cross over and into the, I guess, quote-unquote, real world, and not just be an app or game you play on your phone, on your tablet, whatever. Crossing over into, I guess, more mainstream, larger mediums, more traditional mediums. Best way to say it, more traditional mediums. And this time it's taking on, well, it's going to take on the world of television.
Yes, well, first, let's, before we talk anymore, I'm going to go and say, this has been done. There already has been a TV show. Like, when we think back on, historically, what, you know, the idea of Draw Something, we obviously go back to Pictionary.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sometime just after Pictionary, there was also a TV show, initially, that came out, based on Pictionary, sort of, loosely.
It seemed like the TV equivalent of Pictionary. I'm yes. sure there were lawsuits that flew back and forth, but
yes, we, you know, win, lose, or draw. It was like a hugely successful show. It went on for like, what, 10, 15 years?
It seemed like that. I'm sure the reruns went on forever, but it was, it even spawned its own NES cartridge, so it, you know, that vein of, draw a picture, have people guess it, style gameplay went from the board game to the TV game show to the video game, and apparently that's where it remained until Draw Something came and picked up the mantle of the video game. Now it's going to the TV show, and then I'm sure we'll have a draw something board game.
Yes. But yes.
Reversing the cycle completely.
Yes, we can now continue again saying sorry. There is going to be a draw something TV show.
There is going to be a draw something TV show. Why? Well, it's popular. Draw something has name cachet.
Yes. And when something's popular, instead of competing with it, let's do another version of it for something else. I'm a TV executive. I'm sorry, I just...
Let's synergize it. Let's synchronize it with the social media platform into the television medium, thereby leveraging that name value over the social media platform into the television realm, capturing the value that people love on their phone into the TV so people can enjoy it on their phones and on the TV screen. We'll capture eyeballs left, right, and center.
Okay, well, now that we've overloaded the radio waves with too much marketing speak and people have to pull over lest their heads explode or, you know, they rip their steering wheel off and throw it out the window out of anger, we apologize. But we imagine that that's how the pitch went when this was brought to CBS of all stations. And no, it's not just some game show network fly-by-night thing. It's CBS.
No, this is not some, you know, high on the dial, digital-only channel. No, this is CBS, the mothership network that's, you know, has all the other affiliates in the States and is the parent company of so many other smaller cable channels in the USA and a network that, well, is notorious for its CSIs, its you know, romantic comedies, its sitcoms, its whatever else. Getting back into the game show realm with Draw Something, as per their press release, touting it by saying, quote, "Teams of celebrities and everyday users will test their skills in front of a studio audience to earn money and big laughs. Viewers can also play along at home for a chance to win prizes and compete with the celebrities."
Yeah, big laughs. Great.
Celebrities.
Yeah, quote unquote, probably not A-list celebrities. Probably not even B-list. You know, I bet this is probably going to be people who were on The Surreal Life or former American Idols, because... Guess whose production company is making this?
I'll
almost tell you, Ryan Seacrest. He has a production company, apparently. Because why not?
Well, not only does he have a production company, but he's also the man responsible for such illustrious television programming as anything to do with the Kardashians.
Wonderful.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians, all the related spin-offs, and I believe he was also the production company behind the big Kim Kardashian wedding of last fall. the made-for-TV event of the fall.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you are thinking, you are probably correctly thinking, yes, this is another sign of the impending apocalypse.
Indeed. Now... Yeah, I don't know. I just
now it's stories like this, between this and the face cannibal of a few weeks ago that kind of make me, you know, hope that maybe there needs to be an apocalypse. Maybe we've gone too far.
Maybe that asteroid, well, those asteroid scares that we keep having, that, you know, well, the asteroid the size of Texas is going to hit Earth. Maybe one of those should actually happen. You know. Instead of trying to avert crisis, let's just face it head on for once. See what happens.
Let's just accept our fate. You know, what is the likelihood that we're going to find a Bruce Willis type that we can send up there to destroy that asteroids that is coming right for us? I don't say it's good. And you know what? If the pinnacle of human existence is Draw Something, the game show, which is just win, lose, or draw, the previous game show, I'd say we've earned it. We've gone too far, people. We've overreached. We've outstretched our boundaries, but I guess before that happens, people need to enjoy themselves. They need outlets from the daily grind that we all experience, and one of those daily grinds, in addition to being the games on our phone, be it Draw Something or be it Angry Birds, another one of those outlets is professional sports.
Yes. Now, it's always also interesting whenever professional sport, or when more than one of these outlets kind of cross over into one another. You know, like, well, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, unfortunately. It's been a long day for me, and I'm a little bit fried right now. So
perhaps you're thinking or meaning to think of Pro Stars.
Yes, Pro Stars. Wonderful. That was pretty much when, like, Well, I mean, the stars all lined up back when Pro Stars came out, because you had an incredible star in the NHL, you had an incredible star in the, like, the
NBA,
and you also had an incredible star that spanned two sports. Which, you know, of the three, people probably don't remember him as much, but I'm of course speaking of Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, and Bo Jackson.
Indeed.
Now, it spilled out into the medium of cartoons, where they were also crime-fighting superheroes, basically, who used their incredible sports abilities to solve crimes and stop problems.
And save the day.
Save the day.
Let us not forget, they didn't just solely use their superior athletic abilities. They also used the fancy gadgets and gizmos that were provided to them by their old granny-type den mother character.
Yes.
That was added into the show for some unknown reason.
Because it was the early 90s, and every early 90s show had to have some sort of aspect of, you know, a mother character who would kind of beat you over the head with a newspaper. I mean, stop her, my mom will shoot style.
Yes, yes.
If, you know, anyone who's from the 90s remembers, that was very much like that.
And not only did Pro Stars reach the television medium, it also spilled out into the medium of breakfast cereals.
Yes, I used to love Pro Stars cereal. But we're not speaking of Pro Stars. No, don't get your hopes up for anything Pro Stars related. Pro Stars is not coming back. Pro Stars is dated, dead, pretty much done.
Well, so, wow, you're all about, you know, being a bowl full of sunshine and rainbows, aren't you?
I apologize, but
that was rather glib.
But I'm pretty sure none of those athletes have been in the game for quite a while now. And they haven't been relevant for much longer than that, so
true as that might be, you don't have to ram it down people's throat like that.
I apologize. It's also, you also have to remember, there's also probably a chance that there will be people listening to this that don't even remember Pro Stars.
And that's unfortunate.
So you'll have to Google it, those of you.
Yes.
Know, it'll probably be on, I don't know,
YouTube.
Retro Junk or what have you.
Exactly. YouTube. Pro Stars, you know how to do it. But we speak of the weird hybrid, the weird synergy that results from two mediums, the medium of the field of professional sports meeting up with the field of entertainment, and this
additional field of entertainment.
Yes, additional field.
Yeah.
And this next ludicrous leadoff is all about the intersection where those two meet, and let me just go right out and say it. There is no bigger sport in North America than the NFL, National Football League, American football, in terms of size, viewership, revenue, by any measure, the biggest one.
I believe the statement is it's the second largest religion in America.
I believe that is a very safe statement to make.
Since, you know, you have the people going to church on Sundays, and then after church, you watch football. That's just one of those things.
It works out very perfectly, and but you have the NFL, you have football, which has a lot of eyeballs on it, but something else that has a lot of eyeballs, as you mentioned prior to the first ludicrous leadoff, is Angry Birds.
Yes, probably the number one mobile game of all time, I think.
I dare say so. Now, what was to happen, or what would happen, if the two of those forces combined?
Well, first of all, you would have to say, why? What? That doesn't make any sense. How would those Angry Birds in football, huh? What, are the birds going to be wearing hats? Or are they going to be flinging football players through the sky to knock over the pigs? Or what's going on here?
It is a very bizarre thing, but it is, in fact, has come true in one shape and form. It's not an entire league-wide partnership with Rovio, with Angry Birds. It's limited to just one team, one very specific team, for now, could go further from there. But this initial team that has partnered up with Rovio and Angry Birds, the Angry Birds people, is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, because, well, an eagle's a bird. Philadelphia is known for the people being, quote-unquote, well, not angry, just from Philly. As the old saying goes, you know, I'm not angry, I'm from Philly.
Apparently that's a thing.
It is.
I will take your word for it.
Google it. It's true.
Not being from Philly, not being angry myself, I find it difficult to relate to those, but I will take your word for it. But yes, the Philadelphia Eagles and Rovio have entered into a partnership that was announced last week, last Wednesday, as it were, that the partnership is set to begin this fall, and it will It will be a giant marketing push between the two that will include everything from social media initiatives to integration of Angry Birds on local Eagles team television shows, and even you will see the Angry Birds pop up on in-stadium displays, animations, post-touchdown animations on their giant video board, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Synergy.
Indeed.
For instance, one of the, I guess, examples given in the press release, as the team says, is that if their defensive lineman Trent Cole sacks Eli Manning, the quarterback of the New York Giants, then the stadium's video board will dump the traditional sack animation for a new one, an animation in which the Angry Birds character, Big Brother Bird, Terrence, knocks Manning over. In short, for Angry Bird addicted football fans, there will be no escaping this glorious thumb-hurting vice. It hurts my mind to think that this exists. Not to the same degree as the Draw Something television show, but nevertheless, this is a thing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's apparently part and parcel of Rovio's attempt to be aggressive and just further grow their brand, the Angry Birds brand, and I guess knowledge, top of mind recognition in the North American market to perhaps non-traditional Angry Birds fans.
Yes, bringing it to new ridiculous heights that they probably would have never reached before, but are reaching now.
And this isn't something as though, you know, Rovio and Angry Birds just freely will do anything for money. No, actually, they're quite selective about what they do and what sort of marketing partnerships they engage in with the Angry Birds brand, having only previously done a tie-in with the 20th Century Fox animated film Rio, because it was all about birds. They apparently also teamed up with the Formula One racing series and did a mini game, but the Eagles are in fact the first specific sports team to ink such a deal with the company. Apparently, how this all came about, according to Ari Reutman, who is the senior VP of business for the Philadelphia Eagles, the idea came about when, like most businesses, the entire office of the Eagles became obsessed with the game. And apparently they saw, or he, and probably others in the marketing department, saw the synergistic opportunities right there with a bird-themed game being popular and them being a bird-themed team.
Yes. Now, this obviously has potential for other sports teams as well. I mean, you know, they're obviously not the first sports team or the bird-themed sports team that you can kind of think of. I mean, a few other ones, even in the NFL, pop off, you know. Like, you think of the Atlanta Falcons, the Arizona Cardinals, Baltimore Ravens, Seattle Seahawks.
It's true. Hell,
just in the NFL alone. I mean, this could go into other sports as well. Like, you know, you've got, well, if you think of NHL, the Penguins and the Ducks.
Right there, easy.
And then, you know, MLB, you got the St. Louis Cardinals, Baltimore Orioles, and Toronto Blue Jays.
That would be interesting. I'm sure the Jays would be all over that.
Yes.
Like stink on a hug. And in the NBA, just one lowly bird-themed team, that being the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes. And then in the CFL, the Montreal Alouettes. Because obviously, Rovio has to stop at nothing. You have to penetrate every market. And, you know, what a lucrative big market the CFL must be in comparison to the NFL.
And then hopefully they go into minor league sports as well.
Yeah.
minor league baseball, double A baseball, you have something like, well, if you're a Gold Eyes fan, you know of the Fargo Redhawks.
Yes.
Perhaps you know of the Sioux Falls Pheasants.
Ooh.
Formerly the Sioux Falls Canaries.
Which is a much worse name.
Oh, a violently worse name. But, you know, you can go on from there, and there's many different teams. But the big payoff for both Eagles fans and Angry Birds fans is that when this big hullabaloo, this big marketing push launches in the fall, not only will there be all these social media initiatives, the branding on local TV and in stadium, and the animations and all that good stuff, but the fans of the Eagles and Angry Birds will find an Eagles-centric Angry Birds game. I don't know what it'll be called. Hopefully Angry Birds Eagle Edition.
Yes.
Or Gridiron Edition or something.
But, you know, it does make sense, especially for, you know, the Eagles to do this, since they want to try to get as many people interested in their team as possible, and hey, kids love the Angry Birds.
Kids love Angry Birds. We're a football team. We want kids.
We want kids to love football, too. Hey, this just works out better and better. Right on. So,
yet another example of how both the NFL and Angry Birds are taking over the world.
Yes. One, hours and hours at a time, you know, when you start playing Angry Birds. Hard to stop. Just putting that out there.
It's true, and an NFL game isn't it's not no short affair. It takes a good few hours. That's a time investment you have to make.
Yes, and especially if you're sitting at an NFL game in the stadium, and it's a televised game.
That's true.
You have to account for all of those different, you know, commercial breaks you have to sit through, too.
I did have a friend who went to a Vikings game a few years ago, and he said the commercial breaks in between for both TV and radio are just painful.
Yes.
Slow the game right down, but hey, at least you can play Angry Birds in between.
Yes.
But thus concludes the Ludicrous Leadoffs for this week. It felt good to get them back in again.
Yeah.
The
last couple shows didn't quite feel right.
Exactly. They were on hiatus, but we came back strong with them this week, and proud. I think we can keep the momentum rolling in the few weeks ahead. But until those weeks come, we have to get through this week's show, the rest of this week's show, which, as we said off the top, we will get to the other few news stories that fell through the cracks from E3 at the start of the month that we maybe neglected to mention, forgot to mention, didn't have time to mention, whatever.
Yes, and basically all we were able to really get through in the last couple shows anyways was just what the big three game companies were able to, or were showing, really.
Indeed.
We weren't really focusing on any other specific games, with the exception of Watch Dogs.
Yeah, Watch Dogs in particular, but there's other, I guess, more pressing matters, more time-sensitive matters that we have to have to address and have to let you, the listeners, know about, lest you be uninformed.
Yes, no, this one is pretty exciting for those of, or not really exciting, one or the other, exact, for those of you who maybe, like me, spent way too much time playing Skyrim when it, you know, came out. Well, I guess about half a year ago, around Christmas time.
Indeed.
And yeah, it was a pretty decent time investment, but, you know, with, like any other Elder Scrolls game, you put a ton of time in it, get kind of sick of it, then maybe want to go back to it. But, you know, you don't really expect an expansion to come out right away. So, you know, you might tide yourself over for a while, maybe getting back into it around this time. After taking a couple months off, then, you know, after you've just about exhausted the game again, an expansion will come out. It seems like they've been pretty fast with this first expansion, because they announced an expansion.
Indeed, there was, indeed, one known. It was called Dawnguard, but little was known about it. Specifically, little was known in the way of its release date, but
it's very time sensitive for this show right now, as it actually comes out next week.
It does come out next week. Comes out next week on June 26th. Mark that on your calendars. Put that into your Google Calendar. Write it on your hand. Do whatever it is you have to do. But Dawnguard.
Though that's let's clarify. Tentatively scheduled for June 26th.
Yes,
and that's just for Xbox Live. The PlayStation 3 and PC versions are probably going to come at a later date. But, still, if you have, you know, Skyrim on your Xbox, which a lot of people do, you get the first crack at it.
You sure do. And as if you didn't sink enough time into Skyrim.
Yes.
As if you thought, you know, well, I'm going to deal with these all these other side quests I can do. Okay, well, maybe I'll just put it... Oh, my God, there's Dawnguard!
Yes, now, this expansion, not entirely clear on what it's supposed to be about. Looks sort of evil. Looks like you have to go to some sort of dark side, be it the Daedra or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But you do... it does look like they're introducing snow elves as one of the races. and crossbows as one of the weapons.
Which should be interesting, and no doubt a slew more quests for you to engage in, which really seems to be the name of the Skyrim game.
Yes.
No. Quest until your eyes bleed.
Yes, quest until you can't quest no more, and when you can't quest no more, someone will try to kill you out of the blue, then you'll have to investigate why they tried to kill you. It's just pretty much a never-ending quest machine.
They've done a very fine job of finessing Skyrim into be just an infinite loop of questing.
Yes.
And you have to respect that. And then every once in a while you pop in some DLC and new quests. New life.
Yes.
Everything's new to you, and such is the way of DLC, such is the way of Skyrim. Dawnguard, next week, June 26th. So again, mark that on your calendars. Do whatever it is you have to do in case you, you were unaware. We are here to make you aware.
Yes.
But another tidbit, a little morsel of information that came out of E3.
Yes, moving from the very high-tech to the not-so-high-tech and or old-school world of classic-era RPG.
Indeed, almost regressing, if you so will, but it appears, well, in recent years, that going with a retro game style, retro gameplay mechanics, has been given new life, as we've seen with the 2D iterations of Mega Man 9 and 10, with the Mario games going back to 2D side-scrolling efforts. And
Sonic the Hedgehog as well.
Indeed, Sonic going back to 2.5D. Hell, even Mortal Kombat going back to, 2.5D.
Well, 3D game on a 2D playing field.
Yes. Some classic elements, and apparently our friends at Square Enix are observant of all these, I guess, retro game mechanics, retro elements being brought back to the forefront, and they've decided, you know what? It's time to get in on that action.
Yes, let's make another Final Fantasy game that's like those old Final Fantasy games that we keep re-releasing 100,000 times instead of just doing something new like that. No. It breaks from their money-making model of release old things over and over again, but yeah, they're releasing a new game called Final Fantasy Dimensions for iOS and Android devices this summer.
Now, what is this Final Fantasy Dimensions, and what really separates it from the previous games that they continuously re-released that you were decrying?
Well, I don't know what it's how different it is from old Final Fantasy games, you know, other than the fact that it's a new world and new characters, even though the storyline might be very similar. But apparently it was, it's actually not clear if it's a culmination of, or if it's going to be a redo of, but there in Japan a couple of years ago, there was a series of episodic content-based type games that came out called Final Fantasy Legends. I guess one after another, you would play them one at a time, mm-hmm. And then, you know, at once all of them were released, I guess they came out with, you know, a final pack of them all for those people who didn't want to buy them as episodes but wanted to just tackle them all at once. And now this is that game translated, but it's not clear if it's going to be the entire package translated, or if it's going to be
just a few of the episodes,
or just the episodes one by one for us to experience in the same way. Which I think would be kind of a jerk move on their part, since they have all of the episodes together already, and it's done, just needs to be translated. Why not just release it? I don't know. Just putting that out there.
Indeed, but I guess one of the neat things, if you will, in this era of everything being in 3D, given a super cinematic look, is that, to me, is interesting, I should say, is that Final Fantasy Dimensions is going to be a return to the old-style gameplay mechanics and just visual style of Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6.
I think more specifically just 4 and 5, because 6 was kind of a graphical leap ahead from the previous two.
So, but the 16-bit era.
Yeah, the 16-bit, the earlier 16-bit era of Final Fantasy, for sure.
Which is interesting, and on tablet or handheld devices, again, iOS or Android devices, this summer. Now, the gameplay video that we saw is intriguing. I mean, it still has the same battle mechanics that you remember from 4 and 5, but done with tablet touch controls, So instead of using your cursor to, and your directional pad to point at the enemy you want to destroy, you literally just press on them, and yes. everything else functions as you imagine it would on a tablet.
Yes, very, very similar to the iOS, remakes of Final Fantasy 1 and 2.
Now,
recently.
The one thing I'm concerned about, though, is how you actually direct your player and how you move about the well, world, the universe.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the demo video that they showed, from Kotaku, actually, they linked to a video, and the guy demoing it is playing it on what looks to be, I don't know, Samsung Tab or something.
Some sort of tablet.
Some sort of tablet.
Possibly an iPad.
Possibly an iPad. It's big enough to, it's a tablet, it's not just a phone, but when he presses on it to control it, the controls seem to be in the middle of the screen, which sucks. I mean, it really obscures your field of vision.
So, really annoying that you would have, you know, half, maybe three quarters of your screen covered up by both your arm and your hand trying to direct around where your character, your party, is traversing to.
Yes.
Which would be damn annoying, I would think. Perhaps I'm wrong, and maybe they'll change this between now and the release this summer. But if you anchor it, maybe towards the side of the frame, maybe the left side, you know, where a standard directional pad would go, that might be a bit better, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not part of Squeenix. I'm not in these conversations.
Yes.
I should be, clearly, though.
Plus, you know, my other concern is those of us who don't really like to play RPGs on a handheld, maybe why not release it for a console or something? I don't know. Just putting that out there. They probably won't listen to me since they're all the way down there and I'm all the way up here and, you know.
I understand. Perhaps you can send them an email expressing your idea, your thoughts, your complaints.
I'll preface it with Henry Rollins would have this responded to in 10 minutes. That's what
and,
I would say.
And see if that puts a fire under their ass to get back to you.
Yeah.
But if you wish to contact us, and maybe we'll get back to you in 10 minutes, maybe a bit more than 10 minutes, as we said before, you can email us thearcade@kick.fm or drop us a line on our website, thearcadeshow.com. We'll move along to another tidbit out of the E3 conference, this one coming from our friends at Electronic Arts, about a new property, new, I guess, sports franchise, sports property that they've acquired and added to their, well, very strong, very stalwart stable of sports franchises. A few years ago, Electronic Arts released their own MMA game, simply called EA MMA.
Yes.
And what differentiated it from the UFC game that was done by THQ at the time was the fact that it had Fedor Emelianenko, it had Randy Couture, who had his own, I guess, licensing deal, and a whole bunch of other fighters who weren't in the UFC. I guess apparently going for a bit more of an arcadey feel, but, you know, their own take on MMA when MMA was the big, hot and up-and-coming property of the time. Well, let's fast forward a few years to 2012, and THQ, the makers, the people behind the UFC games, the UFC Undisputed games over the past few years, in a bit of financial hardship, maybe not rolling in the dough as what they used to be, and, well, this provided a prime opportunity for EA to swoop in and buy the UFC license for gaming from THQ. So this means, ladies and gentlemen, that, yes, UFC games will now be done exclusively by Electronic Arts.
Yes.
Now, at the conference, there is no specific details given on when the new UFC game will be coming out, what it will be called, how it will play.
Or even if there will be a new game, or it's entirely possible they just bought the franchise and the rights just to sit on them.
That could be one theory, but you'd imagine that if EA paid probably a fair bit of money for this property, they're not just going to pay that and not do something with it to try and recoup that investment.
That's definitely true.
They are a publicly held company, publicly traded company, rather, and I'm sure the shareholders would have a bit of a hissy fit.
Yeah, a bit of a day with it. They'd have a bit of a day if nothing came of that, since I'm sure the UFC license was not going for very cheap.
You would think not. I'm sure THQ, again, knows the value that it has, and, well, leveraged it accordingly. Dana White was on stage with E3 to make the announcement, and he did not look comfortable on stage. Just something about it just said, I do not want to be here. This is not my thing. I'd rather be elsewhere. But it was entertaining all the same to watch because, well, if you've ever seen Dana White at anything, he's, well, very loud, very outspoken. He's very, well, media friendly.
Yeah, he's a dynamic media character.
Indeed.
He definitely speaks his mind and knows or tries to know what to say anyways.
Indeed, and it just didn't quite work. I guess he wasn't feeling it that day at E3, but nevertheless, all EA really showed of their new acquisition was a sizzle reel of to announce it. No real, again, details specific on game, what it'll be called, systems, launch window even. Nothing of that, just the fact that the UFC video game license is now firmly in the hands of Electronic Arts.
And Dana White did have to say that partnering with EA is a huge day for the UFC.
Which is funny because a few years ago when the first of the UFC Undisputed games came out on the Xbox and PlayStation 3, he was very vocal in his, well, dissent for EA as a company, given that in previous years there was negotiations going on between UFC and EA to make a game. But, well, EA just wasn't really into it because they didn't view the UFC as a quote-unquote legitimate sport. And, of course, Dana White took that personally, and he was very vocal about the fact he wasn't happy about that. And, I guess, money will make strange bedfellows.
Yes.
And it soothes all over all possible wounds.
Yes. Now, speaking of EA and money, you know, they,
they like it.
They like it, and they really like the whole, well, the whole subscription service idea, who doesn't in the video game world, you know, you sell a subscription service or something, you basically, that gives you a license to print money. I mean, everyone always looks up to the example of World of Warcraft, and while not everything necessarily will reach that level of success, everyone can always try and hope.
It's a great way to leverage a very popular property and just have a continual source of income rolling in all the time. And it's it's a great way to do it. We even saw Activision take that route with Call of Duty, the Call of Duty franchise, when they offered Call of Duty Elite.
Yes, their subscription service that they released last year that I believe was, what, $60 a year?
50, 60 bucks, so, in that
somewhere
range.
Somewhere in the 50, 60 range where they had, you know, additional content where you could watch or become a part of their community, watch brag videos and things like that. I recall a whole host of different features that they had.
Indeed. Maps and basically whatever you can imagine they would put out there for Call of Duty branded content, they included as part of it. But I guess EA doesn't want to be left out of that revenue stream.
No, since EA doesn't have Call of Duty, they have something similar in Battlefield.
Very similar, I'd say, yes.
Now, that's the route they're trying to take now. They're introducing a very similar service to Call of Duty Elite for Battlefield, calling it Battlefield Premium. Because nobody in the video game world in the online subscription field seems to have any sort of creativity when it comes to naming things. Which is just an unfortunate thing. I don't know.
I guess in the
Battlefield Premium.
I guess in the meetings they, you know, it was being referred to as a premium service, a premium pay service, a pay premium service, blah blah blah. But the word premium just kept being bandied about. So much so that I guess they just kinda didn't know what else to call it, for premium was always stuck in their minds. Those poor, poor people. Again, people done in by the ill effects of marketing.
Yes.
Do not let yourself be a statistic like those folks at Electronic Arts in the Battlefield division. Stand up. Say no to marketing.
Oh, man, yes. But Battlefield Premium.
Indeed, this new annual subscription service that will go for $50 a year as opposed to Call of Duty Elite, which is $60 a year. And we'll have, we'll offer players special features, virtual items, and early access to content packs, which again sounds strikingly similar to Call of Duty Elite.
Yes.
Strikingly similar, if you will, but, apparently the other information needed to know about Battlefield Premium. We'll give users or subscribers 5 expansion packs, as well as other exclusive features, such as the ability to erase game statistics.
Yeah, so if you made a few too many boo-boos, they're gone.
You'll also be able to receive special in-game items like dog tags and knives.
Yes.
Woo-wee.
All right. Now, if you have a PS3 edition of Battlefield 3, you'll also be able to play upcoming content releases 2 weeks earlier than non-members. Ooh-hoo-hoo. But that's not to say that you don't have to pay for them, because they say that EA still says that consumers would need to spend $25 if they wanted to purchase Battlefield Premium's downloadable content packs separately.
Indeed, so they'll get you either way. But that's EA. Again, they like them some money.
Yes.
Another story that we should get to here as we turn our attention back to the handheld side of things as we started the show off, and we'll kind of broach it again as we come towards close to the conclusion of this week's show, was actually a very interesting tidbit between two separate companies here. But the thrust of it being that during EA's, when the floor was open, Activision had a giant setup. They had a giant display, and part of their giant display was having an enormous, 100-foot-long video wall, some absurdly long video wall.
Yes.
And they were constantly running, footage of Call of Duty ads for, The Amazing Spider-Man, pretty much any of property they have, running giant ads for it on there. But it was during, when these reels were playing on their giant video wall that an astute observer did see an eerily familiar, as he put it, logo. Apparently, there is... during the course of this footage, there was a tiny red bird that was seen soaring kamikaze style into the giant A of Activision's logo. Now, what would a tiny red bird flying kamikaze into something make you think of? What game would that make you think of?
Something to do with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes. to a certain extent, you are correct. Apparently, there is... Well, Activision hinted at there is something to do, and we'll be releasing further news in the next few weeks. But
well, the letters HD are on the end, and Angry Birds is at the start, and somewhere in there, you have to put in for consoles. So they're hinting at Angry Birds in HD for various consoles.
The HD consoles,
yes, the HD consoles. So. PS3 and Xbox, really.
Yes. Interesting that it's taken this long, or would have taken this long, given that it will take longer, considering there's no firm release date yet, but Activision simply clearly indicating that there's an Angry Birds HD game coming out at some point in the future, that we haven't seen an Angry Birds console game yet.
Yeah.
That would have seemed like the first step.
Yeah, but to be fair, I would have a hard time seeing how that would work, given how tightly integrated Angry Birds is with the touch-style control and or mouse-style if you're playing it on the PC. But it's very... Yeah, you need to grab the bird in the slingshot very kind of specifically, and I don't see how you'd get that level of control with a game controller, but I'm still interested to see.
That is true. It's going to be very interesting to see, and also, I think, part of what... makes it hard to just imagine how that's going to play with your normal game controller in hand is that the game is just so synonymous now with touch controls. And being able to click in place over your bird in the slingshot and fling him wildly.
Yes.
But to not have that direct tactile control, your finger on top of your touchscreen or whatever, is going to be a bit of an adjustment, I'd say. But it should be interesting all the same how this is all going to work out and just how crisp, how clean, how much pop it's going to have in HD on a console, on a huge TV, on a huge flat panel HD TV.
Well, I, for one, am excited. I'll definitely want to check that out.
As you should be, and I'm sure a few other of our listeners out there will be excited, will be intrigued. We will bring you more details when we learn them right here on The Arcade, because that's what we do. And another thing we do here on The Arcade is bring you the other as we said, news stories, items that might fall through the cracks. And this one kind of ties in with a game we were talking about last week called Beyond Two Souls, how, you know, the big new game from the makers of Heavy Dream. And one of the interesting facts I said is how it has Ellen Page, the Academy Award-nominated actress, lending not just her voice but her full likeness to the game as well. And this one, there was another trailer shown off that kind of ties into that. Yes, a similar thing.
Well, you know, it doesn't feature a, you know, a good actor or anything. It does feature a classic musical icon, really. I guess you can consider him that at this point.
It's about 20 years in his career, so yeah, I'd say it's safe to call him an icon. He's an actor too. He did play Huggy Bear in the Starsky and Hutch movie.
Right. Now, of course, we're talking about Dio. I almost called him the late, great Snoop Dogg, but he's not dead. I don't know why my brain immediately jumped to that.
Well,
I apologize. Snoop Dogg,
the dog father himself.
Indeed.
Was shown off in a trailer. A new trailer was shown for Tekken Tag Tournament 2, and Snoop Dogg makes an appearance in the game.
Yes. Now, it's not entirely clear if he's going to be a playable character, but there is a level based around him, so it's entirely possible he's sitting in a chair, Shang Tsung style, much like that one level in the first Mortal Kombat game, where he's just kind of sitting there with all of his monks in front of him, just, you know, mm-hmm. clapping as the fight ends or whatever.
Whereas this one, it's a very elaborate gold and ornate type of, I guess, mansion, palace, whatever, with Snoop Dogg sitting there in his gold throne and his lady friends.
Yes, clearly.
On either side of him. His lady friends.
Yes.
Now he sits there observing the action. And in the trailer that was shown as well, he's rapping a new song about Tekken.
Yes. No, it's not clear right now if he is also a very big video game player, but it wouldn't surprise me because, you know, another classic music icon / rapper, Ice-T, is a huge video game player.
This is true. And something tells me it's very, if Ice-T is into it, he's probably gotten a few others into it as well.
Yes. Now, Ice-T, very big into Xbox and such.
And Gears of War.
And
playing
very
online.
So he brought Body Count back last year, I believe, at E3 to, you know, make a song called Gears of War for the new Gears of War game.
Oh, God, yes, that's right, too.
So this isn't the first time that this has happened, but it's still interesting whenever it does happen.
Indeed.
And Tekken, I don't know if it was ever at the level of popularity of Gears of War, even though it's an arcade staple.
It's an arcade staple, and it's been a staple of consoles for the last, 10, 15 years, to say the very least. So I guess it works. I don't know how this came about. I don't want to know how it all came about, personally. This just, it hurts me to think about, but it's one of those stories where it hurts my brain to think about it, but it's still awesome.
Yes.
And certainly fingers are crossed that Snoop Dogg will be a playable character, at the very least, unlockable. You have to defeat the game with, you know, X character to unlock Snoop Dogg, and I sure hope his special move is he brings out the Snoop DeVille. Or calls in his Crips.
Or blow smoke and you get all woozy, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. If there are any further details about Snoop Dogg's involvement in the next Tekken game, Tekken Tag Tournament 2, we will be sure to bring those to you, not this week, but in future editions of The Arcade, because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are plumb out of time on this week's edition of The Arcade. Thank you so much for joining us here on 92.9 KICK FM or on our website, thearcadeshow.com. As we've said before, and we will say again, you can email us, thearcade@kick.fm, but do not expect an email back in 10 minutes' time. We are not Henry Rollins. We are not so obsessed with responding emails at all times, at all hours, in all situations, that we just have our Outlook, our email platform service open.
Having said that, though, we would be very excited to hear from you. We do enjoy responding to emails.
Indeed. So, again, email us thearcade@kick.fm, but be sure you tune in for next week's edition of The Arcade as we go back to business as usual, because we are finally done with E3, and not a moment too soon, because that cow is now producing dust.
Yes, milked dry.
I don't know if we could have milked it any further. There's no meat on its bones anymore. It's just, it's a shell of its former self, and it's begging to be put out of its misery.
Yes, so next week, hamburgers.
Mmm, they going to be fresh. Mmm. Dem's good eats, but do be sure to tune in for next week's edition of The Arcade here on 92.9 KKFM or on our website, thearcadeshow.com, where you find this week's show, next week's show, last week's show, and every other week's show. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Good night.